Good morning again. So while I was preparing the message for this week, I discovered that I have a heart problem. 12 years ago, when I gave my life to Christ, my heart was burning for other people to receive the salvation that I had received. And so I would share with everyone, especially those that I loved, the good news of God's love for them that had caused me to repent. And with those that I shared, I remember distinctly there was one time that I found myself on my face weeping because this person continued to reject Christ. And I couldn't shake the images of this person spending eternity in hell. And it caused my heart to break because of my love for them. It was that passion, that fire that got me into youth ministry. How I ended up in youth ministry, I went on a retreat shortly after coming to Christ with a bunch of teens. And while at that retreat, it became abundantly clear to me that I wanted to be the one standing in the road when young men and women came up to that point in their life. I wanted to be the one standing there pointing them to Christ. And I did it with passion. 12 years later, I've discovered the problem with my heart is that it no longer breaks for those who reject Christ. It's become hardened, calloused. I share Christ still. I share Christ with friends, family, neighbors, teens. But when they reject Christ, I'm pretty quick to brush it off. I could go a step further and say that when I watch the news, there are times where I wish God's swift judgment on others. There are even people in my own life that I've come across, that I've walked away from something wishing God's judgment. This is a heart problem that I have. And I'm confessing that to you because as one of the pastors here, I would love for you to pray with me and for me that my heart would be brought back to compassionate mercy toward those who reject Christ. The reason we preach, the goal of preaching, is heart change, not information exchange. That people would hear the gospel and their hearts would be impacted by it. So that's why this morning I want to preach on what I've called three hearts. So as we go through, that's the focus this morning, is the heart. So before we turn to Romans, let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts as we listen. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that we can know you because you've revealed yourself. You've revealed yourself in creation, but also here in this word. You've revealed the mystery of the gospel in this word. God, many of us have received it. God, help us not to grow weary. Help our hearts not to grow weary as we share. This morning, fill our hearts, change our hearts for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Look with me at Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Paul says, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience is testifying to me with the Holy Spirit that I have intense sorrow and continual anguish in my heart. For I could almost wish to be cursed and cut off from the Messiah for the benefit of my brothers, my own flesh and blood. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the temple service, and the promises. The ancestors are theirs, and from them, by physical descent, came the Messiah, who is God over all, praised forever. Amen. As I read this text, and even when we first sat down as pastors to outline our preaching calendar, I couldn't help but be gripped by Paul's heart in this. We read it once together, and immediately out of my mouth came, "That is not my heart." And that's a problem. I was challenged by Paul's heart. Now, we're going to come back to Paul in just a moment. But before we do, as we discuss three hearts, I want to talk about Jonah's heart. You may remember Jonah from the Old Testament. He's used as almost a Bible hero, which is ironic because he's the furthest thing from a hero on so many levels. See, Jonah was asked by God to go to Nineveh. It was a highly populated city. You could think of it like New York City. It says in Jonah there were about 120,000 people in Nineveh. And people, centuries ago, when they were trying to debate the validity of the Bible, said that's not even possible. Well, they've dug up ruins and discovered, yes, it is possible by square footage. There was 120,000 people packed into this tight area. It was like a metropolitan city. So Jonah was called to go to Nineveh, but Nineveh was a cesspool of sin. The people were evil. They murdered children regularly. They raped women regularly. They enslaved people regularly. They tortured them. There are depictions on stone walls of the people in Nineveh and the horrific things that they did. So God said to Jonah, Jonah, go preach to these people. And Jonah said, no. That's a paraphrase of a couple chapters. No. Jonah got in a boat and went the other way. That's how badly he didn't want to go. Then you might know the story. God sends a great fish to swallow Jonah. And we glorify that. Right? Listen, have you seen Pinocchio? It was not like that. Right? Pinocchio's in the fish, kind of roasting marshmallows, you know. Whoa, this is kind of, you know, no. It was in a stomach. That's disgusting. 3 days in the belly. Can you imagine the smell? The heat? I don't know what he was even floating in. I mean, can you imagine? Well, anyway, so I picture these things, right? And then it says the fish came, right? God sends the fish. The fish comes and does what? I love that. Everybody says spit. See, no, it vomits him onto the shore. Gross, right? You guys hungry? Listen. And I had all this work that I was going to show you, but I won't, all right? So the fish comes, vomits Jonah onto the shore. Jonah goes and does what God says. The whole city repents at the hearing of God's word. God relents, holds back his judgment from Nineveh. Now here's our hero Jonah in response to what God has done. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious at what? Because God did not destroy them. He prayed to the Lord, "Please, Lord, isn't this what I said while I was still in my country? That's why I fled toward Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to become angry, rich in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. That's why I did not want to go. Because you would show compassion. Because you would have mercy. I didn't want them to receive mercy. So much so, he says in verse 3, "And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." That's our hero. I read that and I say, wow, Jonah, whoa. You would rather die than those people be saved from God's wrath? We say, well, that's pretty extreme. I've never felt that way. Maybe not. Let's bring it down a notch. Let's look at the disciples. Luke chapter 9, verses 52 to 54. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. It says he sent messengers ahead of him, and on the way they entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But they did not welcome him, because he determined to journey to Jerusalem. All right, here's what's going on. The Samaritans and the Israelites, the Jewish people, they don't get along. Okay? And so when they came and the Samaritans heard, oh, you want to go, because it's a straight shot to Jerusalem going through Samaria. The Samaritan said, oh, you want to go there? Yeah, you got to go around. That's how much we like you. You can just walk around. You're not going through our territory. Okay? So that's what just happened. So when the disciples, James and John, saw this, and yes, this is John, the beloved apostle, the sweet and sensitive, loving apostle, pre-conversion. They said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them? It's the same guy who would later write, God is love. You see the heart? They were like gangster. They came up. You guys are going around. Oh, yeah? Boom, shakalaka. You're dead. You know, just, Yeah. Gospel. You know, this is their hearts. And can I tell you, I can resonate with that. That there are times where I've approached people to present Christ to them, to share Christ with them. They reject Christ. And I almost in my heart am like, well, you're going to get what's coming. I don't know what to tell you. I told you the truth. You've rejected the truth. Here comes the firebomb. See, this is, I'm just confessing, this can be my heart. There are some, I don't even want them to hear the truth, because I think they deserve to go to hell. Osama bin Laden, ISIS, Hitler. I mean, think about it. I can rationalize in my head, well, yeah, I mean, no love lost there. And there are even those that I share with that reject, and my heart is hard. I won't shed a tear for you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say, that's a problem. That's a problem. Desiring the destruction of God's enemies is a heart problem. It's not a badge of honor. So as I approach this text, I was challenged. Let's look at Paul's heart back in Romans 9, 1 through 5. He says, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience is testifying to me with the Holy Spirit. Here's what he's saying. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not saying this to sound like a good preacher, a good pastor. The Holy Spirit is even affirming with me, no, this is truly your heart. This is truly how you feel. That I have intense sorrow and continual anguish in my heart. For I could almost wish to be cursed and cut off from the Messiah for the benefit of my brothers, my own flesh and blood. He goes on the next two verses to describe that. We're not going to go there, but he describes. It's the Israelites. It's God's people. The ones through whom came the law, the prophets, the patriarchs, the covenants. See, at this point, the Israelites were rejecting God in mass. At Pentecost, many Jewish people came to Christ. Since that time where Paul is now writing the letter, there's more Gentiles than Jewish people in the church because the Israelites are rejecting Christ. And here's what he's saying. I would trade places with you. He has intense sorrow. His heart breaks because his brothers won't receive Christ. His heart breaks. He says continual anguish. It's not just at a prayer meeting. We can all put it on for a minute. We can all feel it for a minute. We're surrounded by people and all of a sudden we're feeling it and all, we're sad too and we're praying and then we go back to our daily routine. Paul says that's not the case. Here's the case. Every day, all day, my heart is breaking for those around me who are rejecting Christ. And I would gladly be cursed and cut off from God so that they could receive Him. I would go to hell in their place if it were possible. That challenges me. Can I tell you something? I don't feel that way. Not anymore. I think I used to. This is like Moses' heart. It says in Exodus 32, the Israelites, Moses is getting the law. God is delivering them this great law, this great covenant. Meanwhile, the people are down there celebrating, making a golden calf and committing idol worship. So God is hot. The King James says God's anger waxed hot. I love that. But he was angry and he said, I'm going to destroy them. Now here's what Moses says. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these people have committed a grave sin. They have made a god of gold for themselves. Now, if you would only forgive their sin, but if not, please erase me from the book you have written. You see that? God, please forgive them. And if you won't forgive them, please erase me. I'll go down with them. What a heart that these two had. It challenges me. And I want to say this as far as sharing the gospel, because I continue to do that. To see rejection of Christ, it should not cause feelings of failure, okay? It shouldn't cause feelings of failure on our part. We share what we know as best as we can. But, so when someone rejects the gospel, it's not, oh, I failed. That's not what God wants us to receive. Oh, I got to do better next time. Oh, I'm not good at this. That's not it. But it should cause feelings of heartache. See, sometimes I feel failure, but I don't feel heartache. So we've seen Jonah's heart. It's pretty rugged, right? And then even James and John, early on as they were walking with Jesus, before they really got it. Jesus rebuked them, by the way. He didn't let that go. And I can identify with them. Then we see Paul's heart. We say, whoa, that's a guy. I look up to that guy. We see Moses and we say, wow, what a heart. I want to show you something even better. I want you to see God's heart. See, Jonah, he didn't even want to go to the ungodly. He didn't want to go to the ungodly at all. Paul said, I wish I could die, be cut off, so you wouldn't have to be. Look at what God says. In Romans 5, for while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. Look at that. That is the opposite of Jonah. Jesus didn't just come to the ungodly. He didn't just go to the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. And then it says, for rarely will someone die for a just person, though a good person perhaps, for a good person perhaps someone might even dare to die, like Paul. The Israelites were good people. Ninevites, evil. Israelites, good people, just rejecting Christ. We might die for a good person. But God proves His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were His enemies, Christ died for us. This is God's heart. And look at how this happened. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By becoming a curse for us. Jesus said, there is a curse on you. You can't keep the law. And because of that, the law has cursed you and sentenced you to hell. So guess what? I am going to become that curse for you. And it says, because it's written, everyone who is hung on a tree is cursed. God says, I don't want you to be cursed. So I became a curse for you. What a heart God has for you and I. But it gets better. Why was He cursed? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. What Paul and Moses said they wished they could do, Jesus did. Because He could. That means that Jesus became the embodiment of sin on the cross. He took all of the world's sin for all time, brought it into Himself. And when He brought it in, He was cursed. He was cut off from God in that moment. The only one ever who should not be cut off from God was cut off in our place. And that's why we read this in Mark 15. It says, at 3, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you know why God forsook Jesus? Jesus was forsaken so that you wouldn't have to be. God's judgment is coming on everyone. And Jesus, greater than Moses, stepped into the world to receive it on Himself. Where Jonah says, I would rather die than you go to heaven. Jesus said, I would rather die than you go to hell. Where Paul says, I wish I could trade places with you and die so you could go to heaven. Jesus said, I did die so you could go to heaven. God's heart is for you. It is for those around you. The gospel is for all. Everyone has sinned. Christ died for ISIS. For all of the men and women involved in that organization, Jesus died for them. Do you believe that? Jesus died for you. Do you believe that? He stood in your place. Said, I'd rather it be me than you. That's love. So as we look at these three hearts, again, my hope is that our hearts would be challenged, our hearts would be changed. That we would have a new perspective on those around us. Those around us that God loves enough to die for. His heart breaks over them. So I want to ask you to pray for me. That my heart would begin to break for those who don't know Him. To pray for our church, that corporately, collectively, our hearts would break for those who don't know Him, that we wouldn't become callous, that we wouldn't be so quick to wipe the dust off our feet, that we would beg and intercede. There's prayer meetings at the end of each month here. What a great time to do that. Beg God to save people. People will get sick. People will get in accidents. Let's pray for their souls. Let's be more heartbroken about someone's eternal soul than about their broken foot. Someone can be saved. Someone can be healed from cancer. But you know what they can't be healed of? Their own sin apart from Christ. Let's beg God with equal passion for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that Your heart for us is passionate. You didn't just talk about loving us. You did it. You loved us all the way. You did what we could never do for ourselves. Jesus, You wept as You looked out at the city. People who were lost. Help us, Father, break our hearts that we too would weep over those who are lost. And that we would be in continual anguish in our hearts for their salvation, and that we would continue to lift them up to You, the God who saves. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.